Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabet, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Faith believer. Amen. It's not what we see, glory to God. So it's what we do not see. That's what faith is. And you know, yesterday I was reading my Bible and doing a little just reading. And you know, sometimes in our life I said invite them in. You have a praise for a testimony, whatever you have. Amen. Come on in on this day, because this is the first Thursday of July. But as I was saying, I was reading and I went to the beginning. I started at the beginning again of creation. And so, you know, how when we have graduated, we have been elevated, when we have been promoted, that's a new beginning. That's a new beginning. What the skill that you have, the talent that you have, the gift that you have, it has been sharpened, and is going to be even sharper more. You're able to reduce that creativity that you have on the inside, that plan, that vision that God has given you. You're able to expand it, and God, He is doing that. He's doing that right now. And so I'm like, God, I said, okay, this is a new beginning for your people. Because if they have never experienced your presence and your power on that level, or that intense, or that intimacy, it's a new beginning for them. And you know how many that when we read the word of God, sometimes, you know, we see something different, even more in depth, jumps out at us when we're reading the word of God. And so just a little encouragement, because you're walking in your new beginning, because it's a new beginning, because you've never been where you're at right now. You're walking in the place that God has equipped you, but you never did it. You never used what God has given you at that point, because this is a beginning for you. This is a new beginning. And so when we go back to the beginning of God's word, and we talk about creation, amen, I think about, he said creation, I mean that something is being made. Something is being made right here. And so as we look at Genesis 1, and it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. He created the heaven and the earth right there. And so we look at the last seven words after the, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. First, we have to realize that God created. I mean, God existed. We have to recognize his existence right here. And so the word of God said God created the heaven and the earth. So it's telling me that, okay, he had to exist. And then it tells me that God had to exist before there was a universe. And he yet still will exist after the universe has perished. So God had to exist before there was an earth, before there was a heaven. He had to exist right there. He said, in your new beginning, glory to God. God already exists. God already knew where you was going to be at. God knew the plans that he has for you. So it was already there in the beginning. He'd already formed you in your mother's womb in the beginning, glory to God. Because even as when we look at the word of God and we look at in the beginning, all throughout the Bible, who is the main character? The main character is, and the main subject is Jesus, is God. God is the main character. Because this is his last will and testament. It's Jesus' last will and testament. He left a legacy here for us. He left something for us to follow. And so we have to model after him. He's our mediator. He's our comforter. He's whatever we need. It's a pure and undefiled religion is what? Feeding what? Giving to the widow, helping the widows and giving and feeding the orphan. Because they have no covering. They have no covering. And so even when we say in the beginning, God created the heaven, we realize that God is a creator. He's a creator. He created. He has creation on the inside of him. And someone asked me a question. And they asked in this question, let me see, can I remember what the question? He said, why did God want to create the heavens and the earth? He said, why did God want to create that? Why did God want to create the heavens and the earth? And here it is, a God that's existed before time. He existed before the world was without, the earth was without form and void. I mean, his himself. Amen. And so I'm going to get to that question. I'm going to answer that, but I'm going to go on. And so, but I'm opening it up. Amen. I'm opening this up to the line as well because I want to hear your responses. And so here it is. We have God. God bless you, Prophet Matthew, from this morning.
Top of the morning, Mother. God bless you as well.
Amen. And so just giving them a little nugget about their beginning and in the beginning.
Amen.
Glory to God, because they're in a newness. They have been elevated. They have graduated. The people of God have graduated because when we came from our 12th Lifeline Conference, amen.
Yes.
I was saying that I heard Prophet Jamon Durant saying, speak. And then Apostle Simmons said, boom, ah, Nubidioshaya. And when I hear the boom now, again, I said boom. And you know how when scientists say the Big Bang, you know, the Big Bang, was it about how that's how the world came into existence? You know, and I'm just like, what? And so anyway, in the beginning, when we realized that God, he did exist before anything, he's the creator of everything. Amen. Glory to God. Because God have done something, I said, Brother Boshaya, that no human being could ever do is to create. It's to create. He is uniquely. He does things that human beings cannot do. He can raise the dead, open up blinded eyes without any type of surgery, because he's speaking to the matter. Because he created fact. Amen. He created. He's resuscitating life. Even when we look at Lazarus, all he said, Lazarus, come forth. He called Lazarus by his name. And he told him to come forth.
Yeah.
So he called his spirit, because that was his spirit. That was God's spirit. He called his spirit and the soul back to himself. And he told them, come forth, come forth. And he came forth. And so we know that God, he's a mysterious God. He's mysterious. How can you explain? How can you explain when he said in Genesis, let us? Who was God talking to? He said, let us make man in our own image and our language. Who was God talking to? He's three in one. It's three in one. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so when we say God is mysterious, amen, it's just like, wow, what are the secrets and mysteries of God? Who is he? Someone existed before time, before the earth was formed. Amen.
Yes.
And we have to realize that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. What he does, he don't, you know how when you get something, like you're in chemistry, and they give you a project to do, and they give you something that's already pre-existing.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, they'll give you a pig, and they tell you start dissecting that pig or whatever. Amen. And here it is. We have to dissect, mean that you're modifying it. You're modifying that thing. Glory to God. But God does not modify matter. Oh, my. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God does not modify matter. But he called matter into being out of nothing, because it was nothing. It said, and the earth was without form and void, and deep darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And so there was nothing. The earth was without form. The earth was out void, and it was darkness. Amen. So here it is. He didn't modify that which was pre-existing. He didn't modify matter, but he called matter into being out of nothing. Glory to God.
He called into being
out of nothing. Who can do that? Only person to do that is God. God is the only one. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And you know how they say you go into the room? You go into an empty room and you look around and you could trance not an empty room, but a room to have something in it. Amen. And so anyway, you look around, you say, oh, I could transform that. You could transform it. Amen. But yet, we can't, you hear people, and I say this, I could create something, nothing out of something. A blank slate, yeah. A blank room. I could transfer nothing out of something. That's the creativity that's down on the inside of us. But yet, when we talk about matter, when something that's already pre-existing, amen, it has no form. It's empty. And darkness was there. And God called matter into being. He said, let it be. And it became out of nothing, glory to God. And so when we look at verse 2, it said the earth was without form. It was empty. It had no shape. It's just like water. Water don't have shape. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. It said, and void and darkness was upon the of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. And so here it is. We got, he says, waters. And so when we're looking at the waters, amen, we say water. I said, Lord, there must be more than one water here. It had to be more than one water. Amen. Because even when we look at how the world is made, and you know how when they go so far down, and dig so far down in the earth, they hit water. They hit water.
That's it.
They hit water. The face of the deep. And God, it said, yes. And God moved. It said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Face of the water. So now the earth is formed. Glory to God. He called it to exist. Hallelujah. And his Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. The waters are still there. He called something, he called matter that was nothing into existence, into being something. The earth has a shape now, but yet the waters are still there.
Mm-hmm.
The face of the water is still there. Not the waters didn't change, but he just spoke matter, nothing, into being. That's all he did. And so he said the world, he said and the earth was already there. The word said it, he said earth was there, and the earth was without form or void. Wow. So the earth didn't have a shape. It was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so God spoke it into existence. It was without form. It was void, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so he said he created the heaven and earth. So earth, heaven was already created. Then he comes and creates the earth. So that which, oh, bless your name, Jesus, he said, I think about when he just said, the part of this scripture, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Kingdom come. He already had a kingdom up in heaven. That's heaven. As it is in heaven, let it be in earth. That kingdom coming up. Glory to God. And so something that's already pre-existing. And God took a blank slate. And he called matter that was nothing into being. Into being. And many times when we look at God's word, and every time we look at it, and every time we read it, something else normally, the same things normally do not jump out at us, to me. It doesn't. It appears to me that he gives me a new revelation. Not a new revelation. He illuminated even more to me. I'm like, wow, God. I'm like, okay. And so when we say God wants us to come up a little higher, come up to meet him. Because being earthbound, glory to God, will keep us stagnated. Being earthbound, don't want to leave this earth, being earthbound, an earthly mind, a carnally mind. You will never be able to get to the height of where God wants you to be, because God is drawing himself. When he has to draw himself back to himself, amen, we have to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so here it is, creation. We look at the first day of, we look at the first day, and verse 3, it said, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God have created light on the first day. He said, let there be light. And God saw that the light, and God saw the light. And he said, yes, that it was good. It was good. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And we say every good and perfect gift comes from above. He said that was good. The light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Glory to God, he's calling that matter, which is nothing, into being. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Look at this. He called light day, and darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And so right here, God showed his authority. He showed his authority here because he put a name. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. He put a name to it. He called light day. He called night darkness night. He put his ownership on that. He put his authority on it. Oh, glory to God. I had never seen it like that before. You know how when you go back and you do your school and they give you a book to read and they tell you that you're going to be tested over a certain area? When you've been tested over a certain area, what you do is, okay, mm-hmm. say, let me study this. Let me really study line upon line. Because when you start studying it line upon line, precept, when you start studying something, you start seeing something there. You don't see just surface. Amen. You going deeper because you said, okay, there's something else in this. There's something more because the teacher can look at this verse here and give you a portion in the book. He said, we're going to have, just say, 3 paragraphs. And he said that I'm going to give you all 20 questions out of 3 paragraphs. I'm like, how in the world can he give us 20 questions out of 3 paragraphs? Because there's something in it that he pulled out. That means that mm-hmm. he studied it, and it was formed in his mind. He studied. He said, oh, okay, that's a question I can ask. And so basically he said, I want you to study this. Study it now. And that's why we have to study God's word. He said, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Because we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God first. Mm-hmm. And when you are in school, we study to show ourselves approved unto the teacher, letting him know when that test time comes that I did study this. And then you will be able to understand the matter of what he is teaching, the subject of what he is teaching. You will be able to engage, you'll be able to engage in your own future because it is your new beginning. It is your future because you're going to school to learn. And so you will be able to apply that which you learn in your life and in society. And so that's why we have to study the Word of God, because he has equipped us to be ambassador. He has equipped us to do what? The Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
To reach the masses of the world. Reach your local. Amen. Reach your community. Reach your state. Hallelujah. Reach those that are to the uttermost parts of the world. Places that you've never been before. Out into indigenous nations, glory to God. Those that are unchurched, glory to God. Those that don't even know who God is, don't even know God existed. Those that are in the jungle, deep, deep in the jungle, hallelujah, glory to God. That idol that said that tree is their God, they don't know. They're unlearned. They're ignorant. They unlearn. They don't know. It's just like you don't even have to go that far. Right here in your community, you have atheists that doesn't, some atheists that don't believe. They don't believe. Atheists just don't believe. Ain't they some? They just don't believe God. There's not a God. Glory to God. And so God is equipping you on today. Amen. We take authority. God showed his authority here when he named the light day, and he named the darkness. He called it night. And he said the evening and the morning was the first day. That was the first day. God said, this is the first day. This is the first of everything. And when I took matter, nothing, and call it into being, this is the first. And he said, and it was good. It was good to him. It was good. God, when he creates, amen, and when he has a plan, he doesn't do it quickly. Amen. He took his time. He didn't even have to evaluate. He already had it in his mind, in his spirit, and he called it into existence. He took his time because he's a perfect God. And everything he do is perfect. It's right on time. It's perfect. It's perfect in its sense. It's perfect. It's at the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. Because he had to call light and darkness into existence first. Amen. Because he had a plan. He was forming the world. He had a plan, glory to God. And that plan had to be, we can't do A, B, C. You have A, B, C. You can't do C first before you do A. It wouldn't be right. It would be chaos. Did the chicken come before the egg, or did the egg come before the chicken? You know, that's a question that many people ask. Did the chicken come first? Did the egg come first? It was an organism. It was an organism. It was nothing. It was matter. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. It was matter. Because he called nothing into being. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. I pray you all being blessed, because you know what? I'm being blessed, because it's like, okay, God, you dropping this in me as I'm speaking it. I said, this is a Raymond Worth mother. And I'm excited, glory to God, because you know, as Prophet has been saying to us and instilling in us and teaching, Glory to God. You know, your mind, your soul is being expanded. It's being expanded. God is dropping and imparting, you know, his wisdom. He's opening up, amen, what you call the part of the brain, oh, God. Is that the pituitary gland? I'm not sure. But that part that sometimes that the center part of that brain that does the thinking and sometimes it sleeps, you know, and if you don't, you know, as we read, it grows. As we study, it grows. As you examine things and meditate upon the Lord, it grows, it grows, it grows. And so as we spend time with God, amen, the things of God, thank you, Father, it expands in us. And it continues to put us in his presence. And then it is an invitation that you're being invited to. Amen. He's inviting you in his presence so that he could commune with you. And he can commune with you. And I can say for myself, I think about, he said, tell me about your experience again. Then I said, did I have a dream, God? He said, it was an out-of-body experience that you had. He said, well, you saw yourself looking down at yourself. And the cardinal mind couldn't understand it. And you trying to understand, how am I there and I'm here? And in my peripheral view, I saw the angel of the Lord talking. And you know how the mouth is not moving, but the mind is talking. We're talking. And I'm like, well, how am I? I'm trying to figure out in my mind, how am I looking down at myself? And then all of a sudden, my head started hurting. Because what? The cardinality side was trying to understand, how am I here? And I'm looking down at myself instead of to receive what God wanted to say to you. He was showing you yourself. What you're becoming. He was showing you who you were becoming. This is who you are. I'm like, oh my God. And so now, Mother have graduated. And I said, okay, God. I said, I want that experience again because I know what to do now. You know, I know what to do. And I said, God, give me a second chance. Give me a second chance at that. And you know how when you want second chances, it's like a test, and you didn't do so well on your test, and you asked the teacher, you know, and the teacher knew that most of the classroom didn't do too well, and she said, well, I'm going to give you a second chance. Some of the things that was on the test is going to be on the test, she said, but something else different is going to be on the test. I'm not giving you the same test over again, just the same question. Like, no. Some of the questions are going to be on there, but there's going to be some new questions on the test. And so that means that you're going to have to study even more. And so that's the Spirit of the Lord saying, even in your new beginning, take authority over that. Take ownership over it. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Walk in your dominion. Because in the beginning, he gave us dominion. Walk in that. Because that's your new beginning. Amen. Take ownership of the light. And he called it day. Amen. Take ownership of it. Amen. Because you're speaking, giving God his word back. And he spoke into existence. He spoke into existence and it became. It became. That's authority.
That's
lordship right there. The elements bow to the voice of God and the commandment of God. And so what matter of man is this that the wind obey?
Mm-hmm.
That's, they knew that was Lord. They knew that was the creator because they heard the sound. They recognized that was that's my creator. I better obey. That's my creator there. And so today when you walk in your new beginning, and then he says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it be divided into water from water. And so God is creating. That was the second day. He made earth, amen, in 6 days. He put everything in sequence. And then on the seventh day, he rested. And he rested and looked at his creation. He rested from all that he did. And he just looked at what he'd done. That which was matter, he called it into being. He didn't modify, but he just called it into being. He called nothing that was without form and without shape. Glory to God. He called it into existence. He called it into existence today. And so you can call it into existence. On today, because it is your new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's your new beginning on today. Glory to God. And so I just wanted to share just that little bit. Amen. Because I got excited about that. I said, Lord, I could stay right here in verse 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. I just on that one day, I said, God, I could get a message out of that just on the first day. The first day. Don't even have to go to the second day, but just the first day, I saw God's authority shit. I saw God's authority over everything. I saw how the matter was Lord. God was Lord over everything.
Yes.
That's why he said in the beginning. In the beginning.
In the beginning.
In the beginning. Glory to God. Because there has to be a beginning somewhere in order for something to come into existence. The beginning started somewhere. Glory to God. And so when I think about in the beginning, and when we go to John 1, it says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Oh, bless your name. He said the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In the beginning, the Word, it was the Word that brought things into existence. He said the same was in the beginning with God. He said all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It said in him was life, L-I-F-E, was life. And the life was the light of man. The light of man. And in the beginning on the first day, he called the light day. Hallelujah. He said, but the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehend it not. Glory to God. So a question to you. Why did God choose? Why did God form the world? Why did God bring something, bring matter into being? Why did God want to create that? Amen. And you can answer that too, Father Matthew. God bless you all. Amen.
Amen.
Before we share this little tidbit, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Spirit
Amen.
Of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Top of the morning. God bless each and every one of you all that are joining us on today. And we, as Mother said, this is open forum, and we certainly thank God for opening round of this morning. And those that are listening in from all over the world, we thank you all for joining us and stepping in with us on this day. And certainly we thank God for my co-host, Evangelist Thelma Sidney, Mother Sidney, on today. And she's opening us up to new mysteries in the kingdom of God, or the mysteries in the kingdom of God, so we can bring it alive to the people, so that they will be able to tap into knowing how you can become one with God in all parts of your life. And so I thank God for it on today. And Mother was saying, this is open forum, so if you want to come in, if you have a question, comment, or statement, we surely are here to answer those questions, comments, and statements. And surely we thank God for the word of God coming from Genesis, five dimensions of things that God releases to us, that we may be able to tap into his mind, his thought, his will for our life. From nothing came something. Matter brings everything into existence from the place of unexistence. From the darkness came light. One of the things I believe that is so powerful from the creation of Yahweh or Yah is that God wants to prove to the world that where there's nothing, I can always create something. And when you look at the dynamics of the melon of the world, if you ever notice how black people are considered nothing, but we can always create something. And when you look at the existence of nothing, and from nothing, we can become something. And from nothing, everything existed from that place. And when God does what he does, sound is a very powerful thing. From a place of zero, there's always an existence from that place. So God has always proven to the world that there is a existence from what we call non-existent. And the only thing that makes it difficult for non-existent is human resistance to the non-existent. God is good at how he sets the stage and how he perpetuates events in our life. So when we look at Genesis chapter number 1, and it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He knew exactly to the details of the perimeter. When I look at Genesis, I always think of Genesis as gene, genuine. I look at Genesis as a book that opens us up to all of the mysteries of genealogy, genius, genuineness, God himself. From that book, he allows the reader to be able to understand each event of the human body, waters from water, separation of water, and how he does things exactly to the detail. So when you're looking at the world today and you're moving people from this three-dimensional place into oneness with God, we're able to understand who he is, not on the outside, but who he is in us. Because all things are made through him, in him, and for him. And we were the existence. So from nothing, he created something to prove to the world, no matter what goes on, how things exist, the way things are done, I'm going to always create something from a place called nothing. And that's the power of God and how he divided day from night and firmament from informament, waters from water, and how he divided things so in detail. So when you tap into your own mind and think from the wisdom and the creativity of who you are, you'll carry every element of the universe and the earth within you. And look at it. Look at what he said. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, here's what he said. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word. So if you look at you as a human, you would never die because you are the word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word. So when you understand who you are, you understand the power of the word. And all you have to do is put the L in there. You got the world. You take the L out, you got the word. So in the word, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, was upon the deep of the earth. And from that, he did it all with the word. So he created the word so that the word can create the heaven and the earth and put us into us who we are. So in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then he did what he did. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But it needed the word to begin to create. Because from the word, there's nothing exists until you open your mouth and speak it. Everything comes from sound, frequency, from rhythm. So most of us in the world, we're so inundated with the illusions and the delusions that are the word that can create the solution. Am I going somewhere today? I'm only tapping in so that you will understand the dimension for which you're in. Until you open your mouth, nothing is created. It's so interesting. I was sharing with some of my colleagues yesterday. I said, please, in this season, be very careful for the bipolar prophecy. You don't want to walk around living with a bipolar prophecy. There are a lot of people that are giving you prophetic words that are bipolar. Your words have to be distinguished in the things of God to bring you into the creativity and the mind, will, and thought of God. And I shared with the people on yesterday at noonday prayer, and I'm trying to get the people to see that and understand the power for which you're housed inside of you. When you are part of a religious system, an institutional system, or your background comes from I want to use the term here, from a mentality of a slave system, you become in bondage to that system. And from that system, you learn from that. So if you came out from slavery, you came from the colonial system. And so everything exists from that system. And then your family were taught from that system. You learn from that system. And if you understand the system, you were taught in the system not to read or to write because you was kept incompetent. But it did not stop the word inside of you. You didn't know how to read the books, but you had knowledge of books in you. That's why in the slave time, blacks who didn't know how to read or write had the ability to think and create sound and frequency and ability. That's why in the fields when they were slaves, they were able to sing song. They had harmony. Harmony always fooled the masters because their songs were songs to trap the thought of the white man to prepare the escape of the black people. And that's how they were able to escape, through sound, rhythm. And so when you deal with infrastructure of music today, many people don't understand how music is very critical to the sound a frequency of liberty and freedom and opening you up and engaging you. Everything was done from a sound. Everything exists from a sound. Do you know you can believe and speak yourself into all of the riches of the world and never have to worry about anybody? The problem with most Black America, we've been trained to go to a lighter people instead of going to the light in our mind to get what we need from the people. Can I go deeper? We've been trained to go to white people to get what we need when we already have it in us. And we were nothing, but we made them rich from nothing. Just imagine if you don't go to them and you use what you have in your nothing to create something, and they would need you. They use you to get what they had. Now they say you're nothing. So how can I be nothing and I made you rich? See, you have to change. You have to go back into your historical marker of something that they told you was nothing to bring everything into existence. That's why if you ever look at the world, anything dark is false, but actually is the dark is the victory because it's the light in the darkness. That's why you have people, you have more people in the world opening up a building to try to put people in a building instead of opening up the knowledge of their mind to get people to understand that you are a builder. My investment is not in the infrastructure of a building. My investment is the infrastructure of building people for the purpose. I don't pastor people. I pastor your purpose. Your purpose is in your pineal gland. I have to go inside the atom to get past the evening, the Eve. Because you got to understand that Adam and Eve were the atom in the brain that get you to the evening, to open you up to the knowledge of the mystery of evil, evening. The evening and the morning were the first day. So how did it start? The evening. Adam and the brain had to get to the evening to understand how to get to the morning, to the first day. The morning brings the light. But you have to get past the evening, the dark, to get to the light. So if you don't get the revelation of your gene, you'll still follow a system from the word that wants to give you the revelation of each day. He said, I daily loadish you with benefit. My mercy is new every day. So every day you wake up is 1,000 years to your 24 hours. So while the enemy is making you think 10 years ago, you're millions of years behind time. When you come to the knowledge in one day, you come into oneness with God so you can move into the power of the future. I'll never be broke another day in my life. I'll never be poor another day in my life. Now, how do I say that for somebody that's looking out saying, how are you going to do that? Because, see, you hear me, and you go into, how are you going to do that? I tap into him. It's already in existence. So while you're focusing on me, you can never focus on what you can do. That's why you have to understand the inner me, the inner eye of me. See, most people don't like you because when you speak something into existence, they have it in their gene, but they don't have it in the light of their gene because they've been taught to stay in the darkness of their system. And when you break past that, you move into the gene. So you have more people hating on you. And the reason being is really they don't hate you. They have a fear. It's a fear. It's a fear of the unknown. How did you get there? And how are you there? And how did you surpass me? Because my focus is not you. My focus is the inner God of me. And when you focus on God, you won't be worried about everybody else. You don't worry about people's opinions. You don't worry about low self-esteem. You don't worry about what people tell you. You don't walk in offenses because offenses is on offense. You don't even know which side you're on, so you're on offense. You won't even go to the right side or the left. You're just in between, and that's the problem. We can't move from the in-between because because we're too busy being caught up between two opinions. How can you be caught between two opinions? Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve what side? What side of the brain do you want to serve? Do you want to serve the hemisphere, the right hemisphere, the left? How do you judge? How do you move from that? When I begin to focus on the N-I of me, I never focus on anyone else, because N-I opens me up to the creativity of what I am already. I'm already in existence. So when you're already in existence, let's move over to John. Mother, you were sharing something very powerful from the book of Genesis, chapter number one, and you were going to verse number two and three. And each day is a symbol. Now think about this. The first 5 days of creation, open your hand up to five fingers. And in each finger is a print. It's a what? Fingerprint. So each day God fingered you and printed you. We focus on the fivefold ministry, but we missed the print in our hand that give us the ability to keep it open from being folded. You just missed the revelation. Can I take you deeper? The fivefold ministry. If you read Genesis, the five realms of each day in your hand is each print. Your hand carries a DNA of each day in a print. Every single fingerprint is different. There's no one single fingerprint in the earth, period. You can't find it. The reason why more people are getting out of jail now is due to the ability to understand their fingerprint. So just because we will lie about the evidence from their sound, we can live by the print of our frequency. But we're coming out. Now the knowledge is so great now that pulpits can't survive anymore. Why? Because pulpits from teaching from pagan ways, people are tired of your pagan view and your pagan ways. So that's why churches are emptying out, because what they've been taught is systematic theology and charisma. So they taught the exegesis, the word. But they don't know how, when you exegesis something and you exegesis it, you're exegesis it from who taught you, not from what the knowledge that God has given you. So the movement to understanding your relationship with God require one to be in contradiction of everybody else. No one want to contradict other people because they too busy want to be friends with an N-I, not the N-I me. So I'm comfortable going along with what everybody else says to me. But when I move beyond, above and beyond, or transcend, then I move outside the norm of what I've been taught or spoken or given to man or from mankind, because I'm moving from that place. I'm moving into a deeper revelation. I want God to reveal things to me. As I was teaching, when I was ministering for the Lifeline Conference, my night I ministered on storm. So I dealt with, number one, I dealt with the quiet storm. Then I went to the personal storm, and then the open storm and the anytime storm. I waited until I deal with the revelation storm. The revelation storm is greater than all of those storms. Once the revelation storm is revealed, then you contradict DNA. You contradict what you taught or learned, because now you've been revealed. And that storm is between you and you. Because once I've been revealed, a storm begins in my life. Because I have to contradict all of what I've been taught, learned, and given. I lose friends under the revelation storm. See, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John, Mark, and Luke, and John talked about the storm. But John never spoke about the storm. He was put on the islands of Pompeii. So he dealt with revealing storm. He was revealed, so he was put into an island. He was isolated. So the revelation storm isolates you. But what it does is it elevates you above and beyond humanity. Because on that storm, you transcend above the storm. And in that place, you move beyond thought, will, because you move to the mind, will, and thought of God. You become just like it. And most people, when you're talking about you and the Father is one, it's confusing to them. How is it that you and the Father can become one? Because he spoke me in existence before I became. If he spoke me in existence before I became, then I could become one when I'm revealed by him. The problem is people want to reveal you. That's why we have so many cloning people, copycat people, and bipolar prophecies. You know those prophecies are not going to come to true. All that prophecy is going to fulfill a flesh, and the flesh will die, but your spirit will forever live. So you have to connect the word with the word. God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? He gave the world the L, so that the word become what? The world, the word. The word created all things. And without those things, the world was without form. God had to utilize us to create. That's why he said, I so love the world. Who? The word had to love the world. Why? Because the word had to put the L in there to get the world. The world, I so love the world, because I had to take the word and connect my love to the world and give the world my love. I so love the world. And that's why people in the church don't understand the world, because they don't understand the word. If my word reached the world, then I could bring them the love to bring them connected to oneness with God. But because we don't really understand the God inside of us, we prejudge. You're not discerning. You're really suspicious. We got a bunch of suspicious people in the world, and they're so suspicious that if God gave you $1 million, most people would turn it down anyway. They wouldn't know what to do with it, because they would be so amazed. They would be so thrown by the person that gave you $1 million. You'd be trying to figure out why they gave you $1 million. You give me $1 million, I'm going to tell you, you heard from God. I'm not going to ask you where you got it from, but where you get it from. How do I know it's you? It don't make no difference. Give me $1 million. I'll show you what I'm going to do. Because we're so suspicious in our mind. They trained you to be like that.
Amen.
That's like when coronavirus came, COVID-19 came. All of these things took us from what? Understanding the corona, the crown on our head. That's why we would rather take a shot than go into our mind and shock us back into existence. Look at it there. So they use the Catholic Church, the Jesuit Order. Do anybody hear about Dr. Fauci now? No one hears about Dr. Fauci. No one hears. He's infamous right now, because he knows he's at the darkest of the darkest times. He know he lied. He know he deceived the world. He know he manipulated. And look at the smoke screen. The smoke screen really is hiding everything that Joe Biden did. But they throwing smoke screen at him. They throwing all of these smoke screens, and you don't even know this diabolical man that did all of these things to blacks in prison systems and all the world and the Justice Department and all of the crooked things he did, even his son. But we voted for him. Well, I ain't going to say I voted, because I didn't vote for the fool. Excuse me. I didn't vote for him. And see, you got to understand. And I ain't scared of none of y'all anyway, so y'all don't scare me. I told y'all don't scare me. I'm calling truth. You have to understand what you're dealing with. So here you now. You have the United States of America, 50 states, actually, really, 50 and a half states, because Washington, D.C. is not a state, it's a district, but you have all the 50. So you have a diabolical spirit. Now, think about this. Now, why is it, Mother Sydney, and I'm going to go back to the point of transcending, why is it that everybody who supported him all of a sudden is against him? Look at the polls. The polls. He doing worse. What did they say? The worst president was Bush, and then they said Trump. His polls are worse than that. Fine. But he, and guess what they did? They used the melanated people to get him in office. It's always us. Listen to this. We are always manipulated because who they do? They use secret black leadership who already bow to secret society to manipulate us because they train us to follow. What happened in Rosewood? A man that was a Mason who ain't going to never get authority from the Scottish Rite. Y'all ain't ready for me today. Don't come trying to throw a gadget on me. I know all 33rd degrees. And I can tell you everything from 1 degree to the 33rd. And you got some people go through the 3 degrees and they don't even know half of what they doing. You ain't got to have no book for me. I can book you in every book you need. Because you can't. Look, my grandfather was a 33rd degree Mason. Grandfather, he was 33rd degree. Highest ranking, politician, political. He wasn't going to sell me into that drama. He don't manipulate me into that drama. He didn't manipulate my dad. So you can't drive me in there. I don't care what sacrifice you used and tactic they used. You can't drive me into something I already have knowledge of before you even did it. So you got to understand where you are. I didn't bow to nobody. I didn't have to lay down and get in a casket and go in a room and be stripped naked and all of those other things. I didn't have to sacrifice myself. I didn't have to do blood sacrifice, all of that other. See, I didn't deal with no bones and scales and the Scottish Rite. I didn't have to meet in a Vatican City. You see, when you come into a knowledge of something, you go deeper into it. I wanted more than just sitting on a Sunday morning listening to a man preaching something, and then it didn't make sense. I wanted knowledge. I tapped into knowledge. I tapped into knowledge. And when you tap into knowledge, you tap into wisdom. But the fearful thing is when you tap into it, it's a fight for your life. Because what you're doing, you're tapping into secrets and you're tapping into areas that you're going to be tested by. Look at all of the knowledge that Solomon had, and he lost his mind. Why? Because the more you go into the deepness of this type of knowledge, if you don't transcend your thoughts, you'll lose your mind. God won't give people certain knowledge there. He'll give me it. Because people will, you will literally be isolated in your mind because you be so entrenched in the transcending of God that you can't even survive on the earth. Look at God, what is his name? They call him one of the smartest men in the world, but he wasn't. He was nowhere near the smartest man in the world. He just had some knowledge because back in those days. They because of who he was and his background, his culture, he learned from that guy. Well, in other words, they didn't get black acknowledgement. You really wanna know a man with knowledge? Go over to Tuskegee University and study Washington. You look at the knowledge of what he did. Look at Henry Ford went over to see him. Henry Ford was giving him money. He said he didn't want that money. And then back then, $300,000 was a lot of money in the 1900s. Because Henry Ford wanted that man who took a peanut and made rubber, took peanuts and made invention, took a peanut and qualified. That's why they castrated him. He couldn't have no children because they knew what they were doing. Because they didn't want no one to be greater after him. See, all of this wittiness and creativity comes from understanding the word. Look at this. If you hold your Bible in your hand, look at from 1604 to 1611 when they completed the English version of the King James Bible. When people start arguing about King James wrote the Bible, he didn't do any writing. He authorized it. Just like King Charles, he can authorize stuff because he's been crowned the sovereign king by all the secret societies of the world. So they came and made him sovereign king. Why? Because they needed a coronation. A coronation is the crowning of sovereignty from a gene in the Adam. Coronation. So they crowned him while they gave you coronavirus. They was smokescreening for the coronation. Because they already timed the frequency of 1604. So from 1604 to completing 1611, 1711, 1811, 1911, 2011. So in 2011, that was the process between 2011 and 2023. That's 12 years. So they understood that the 12 tribes, the stone of the tribes, will be so connected to the 400-year period, because that's 400 years. So they understood. So it was designed in 1957 to bring Queen Elizabeth, who stole the queenship, and her husband, which was Philip, who died at 99. You flip it over, you get 666. You see the day he died on the ninth day at age 99. You flip it over, 666. It was the completion. So they knew it was going to be the completion. 2 years later, his wife died at 96, I think, summer 96. So you have to understand the cycle of numbers. And if you don't understand the dynamic of Genesis is all about genes. It's numbers. Each day, the evening, the Adam and the evening were the first. In the morning was the first day. To understand that. Now, to let somebody preach from the pulpit and deceive you and you don't have a revelation, you'll think it's a literal place. You'll think it's an actual place. You have to be able to transcend your thoughts, so you have to look at it and read it. Like Mother was reading it, Genesis. The story of creation. Where is creation? In us. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Listen to this. He created the heavens and the earth. Now, earth has the word ear, E-A-R-T-H. So in the beginning, God created the ear from what? The earth. We are the earth because we're the ear. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we have to have an ear. If you read in the Revelation, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Your ear, the earth. The heart has an ear, H-E-A-R-T. Your heart must beat to the tune of the ear, the heart. Now, fear has an ear, F-E-A-R. Satan operates through using fear, your ear, and causes your heart, your ear, to create pain in your heart. Most people got so much mess in their heart because it came from the ear of fear. You live in fear, you'll never hear your heart. God is the heart. God does what? What did he do to David? David was a man after my own heart because David had an ear. David would deal with sound, frequency, music. He understands dimensions, realms, and places. David was black. David was a man who not only, and actually his name wasn't David, it was another name before they gave it the English version of David. He was a very witty man before they even gave you Africa, which is a Dutch name. It was another name. So we have to understand before it was and before it became, you were already here. You was before it came. There was nothing in existence until you came. Everything didn't exist. Everything was cave mentality. You brought everything out of the cave. So a thinker is a creator. And the problem is you will never have to worry. Look, poor people chase what? Money. Rich people chase things. Wealthy people have ideas. I am so wealthy because I have ideas. I would never tell the world, the people that I sit and talk to and give them ideas. I don't have to chase money. Money finds me. I don't chase it. Rich people chase ideas. I mean, rich people chase things. I don't need things because I can't put a U-Haul, a hearse behind a U-Haul, or a U-Haul behind a hearse. So your life have to be, you have to move beyond that. At certain times in your life, you've had anything. Think of somebody who got money. All they do is buy, 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 buy. Their house is junky. Look at these wealthy people that are hoarders. They got so much money, they hoard it. They keep buying and buying because they empty. They chase what? Things. Look at people chasing things, and they never fulfill a new car. Look at what prophecy tell people. God's going to give you a new house, a new home. You got all of those things anyway. It's in you. You can create a house. You can have a house built from the ground up if you want to. You don't have to never rent again. You can own for your ideas. Fear makes you not want to buy. Why live in a rented house for $2,000 or $3,500 when you can own a house and live in it for about $1,800 if you know investment? If you know how to move in an investment. See, the knowledge that we reveal to you, they told you you can't get a house because of your credit. You're letting a system that created a design to tell your body your credit report. Do you know you can get anything in the world? Do you know, listen to this. I want everybody to Google this. There were more millionaires made in the middle of the coronavirus that they gave you than any time in history of the world. There were more people able to purchase during the corona than anything. But because they sold the melanated people fear through their leadership, they used key people through leadership to navigate us into their system. And they used fear tactics to take out. So 2024, 2025, 2026, 2027 will be horrendous years for black people. And then what they did, they displaced us and scattered us around and sent 1 million people from Ukraine right into the United States. And in all of the cities, if you look at it, and you can Google it, in all of the major cities, even go to Chicago where Henry Horner was, Robert Taylor, Cabrini O'Green, Ida B. Wells, those projects, all of those areas are now taken over by Ukrainian people who were considered so-called Jews, who are really Zionists. So they fill those spots up. And who was part of it? Your president of the United States, who's sitting there, who thinks he can fool me because I operate in dimensions. He operates in dementia. So he can't even fool nobody. Stumble. And everybody else is fumbling, and we're walking. Why? Because we tap in before we let the rest of the sellouts tap us out. We follow celebrities instead of watching the celebration of God. You have to be in a place to know. So that's why in the midst of a virus, we were able to go viral because we broke through the system of the darkness, so that the people can see what's going on in the light. Those who follow the light are successful right now. If you even look at all of the pastors and leaders in the United States, especially black pastors, look at their ministry right now. Look at the sun setting on them. So the sun is setting because God literally landlocked them now. They can't even go further. So they're in their exodus. We're not even exiting. We're entering in. They're in their exodus. We're entering in. Why? Because they sold themselves, themselves. And when they realized they sold themselves, it was too late, so they can go no farther. So they're limited. They can't even move past because they locked themselves in through sacrifice. And when you lock yourself into sacrifice, you can't go where you want to go in God. That's why you remember in certain times they shut up the heavens. It was shut up for 400 years. They would shut up the knowledge and the wisdom, so they had to use what they had. So you have to move beyond what you've been taught and sold, and many of them can't. So everything is in contradiction. Look at the world. It's in contradiction. So once it went into contradiction, look at what happened under Obama. He sold the nation more perverse, polluted transgenderism, homosexuality, and made it right. Why? Because when God locked them, most of them can't transcend, so they changed their gender. They couldn't move to transcend, so they changed their gender. Inside, they fought within, so they chose to lose their identity because they sold themselves to an identity crisis. They chose. So every human who did not fall for the crisis operate in the crystal, which is the pineal gland, which is the knowledge of things. And most of them, due to COVID, were more suicidal than anybody. Look at the suicidal rate of people who were battling with genderism, gentrification, identity, all of these crises. They don't want to be male, female. Now look at this. Now you got a world, now everybody is fighting. Why? Because now women are getting mad that men's got to be in their sports. See them there? Ain't no woman going to never let a man outdo them in their sports. So look at, now you're going to have a war. But everybody went along with it. So now these men can become a transgender and start winning all of these great titles because you know you're stronger than the woman. Now the women say, oh no, we're not going for that. So let's battle. So it's going to take a woman to line men back in place. Y'all ain't ready for me. You ain't ready for me. You ain't ready for me.
I'm on that.
You ain't ready for me. You ain't ready for me. Because a bunch of these men who carried all these femininity, they can't be masculine. So don't hate on me. All right, I'm just saying it. Don't hate on me. I ain't no punk. Excuse me. I'm all man. So you can't hate on me because I identified you. You follow what I'm saying? You got to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, people. I just got to call it what it is. And I'm so tired of watching all this other foolishness, this buffoonery in the land. Anyway, so you got to know who you are in the world and know who you, your identity. People don't know who they are. Then they try to come and try to sell you an identity. How you going to sell me an identity? You don't even know who you are. Who are you? You don't know if you build today or marry tomorrow. You don't know if you sue at 12 midnight and Tom at 8 a.m. I'm just talking. What was that, Mother? Come on, let's get back into this. Anyway, Mother was talking about the getting to know it, to understand it, the transcending of who you are in the world and knowing your identity in God.
Amen.
And many people are coming now to the knowledge of who they are. And because mainstream media, which deals with television, which is teleporting, can no longer hide what they hide. Everything is being revealed now. So June, and I think I mentioned this to everybody from the beginning of the year. You remember I tell you, I give everybody usually a 90-day window to tell you what's going to happen in the 90 days. So now if you study Titanic, go think of the word Titan. The Titanic was birthed from the word Titan. Titans were known as giants back in the AD, back in centuries ago. And these were giants that were birthed through Nephilim, who slept with the daughters of men, Genesis chapter 6. And what they were trying to do, if you study the Titanic, you'll understand that some of the richest people in the world were on the Titanic, if you study it, some of the richest people in the world. So from that place, you have to understand. 1912, I think. Because you got to remember the Titanic sank on April 15th. That's where you get the tax year, April 15th. And it set sail. I believe it was April the 6th. And you have to remember they said this Titanic was so built the way it was built. It had all of the amenities in it. And then there was a lot of wealth on that. So you have to understand these people were coming to America and they were to New York and they were bringing all of this gold and all of this. It's almost like the wilderness. The wilderness was the biggest offering in the world. In the wilderness, you can study in the Bible. In the wilderness, they had the biggest offering in the world. They had the biggest offer. All of the gold and everything was in the wilderness. They built the calves. They had all of this stuff for Pharaoh. So these ancient spirits, all of these, this man who was trying to build this Titanic for everybody to go down and get the Titanic. That's why he charged $250,000 if you didn't have money. You can go. So there's a certain level of water, and that's what Mother was talking about, water separate from water. There's a certain place in water that you can go, and it's a deep level. And so when these European wealthy people, and you can even go to Google some of the names of these people, you'll understand even some of the names. It'll become familiar, some of the names of these wealthy people who had all of these riches. What they did is they actually cursed themselves because they thought, they said not even God himself can sink it. So uh-huh. God took them to the Arctic Sea. Now, you got to understand there's another wall beyond the ice wall. That's a whole other place. Many of y'all don't even understand that one. And so what they saw is they can break through and pierce through that wall back in that day. And so when they cut through the Titanic, now this thing is steel. It's solid. When they cut through, it opened up the hole. And all of these people, do you know that let me tell you something about rich people. Do you know that there are people who refuse to get off the ship because they didn't want to lose none of their wealth? That's even proven. Mm. Some of those rich people didn't even want to get off the ship because they had so much of their wealth in the ship because that was their God. They sunk with the wealth. The rest who got escaped, who got off the ship, was saved. Many more would have been saved, but they wanted their wealth. They sunk with their God. So these people would try to go deep. They've been doing this for years. They've been trying to do that. So what they've been trying to pull up their God, this ancient stuff. These are ancient stuff. So they have to go into the marine realm. Now, isn't it interesting? Everything started from Canada, and went into New York. And then after that, look what they did. They started going back into the deep. So they went deep. They wanted to go back into the Arctic. Now, the smoke screen that they sent to America, you were too busy about your coffin and stuff. You didn't understand the smoke screen. If you Google what a smoke screen does, they'll tell you several levels of smoke screen. They'll tell you how they do it in military. They'll tell you that we only know how they did it with Indians. They'll tell you how they do it with secret society. They'll tell you how they do it with the Vatican City, the Pope. Everybody have a code with smoke screen. Those were all secret codes. So when you saw different colors of smoke, those were all signs and symbols.
Oh, yeah.
And these signs and symbols, the church world don't know about because they're too religious. Most of these people in the church ain't saved. And I'm not a food inspector. I look at the life. Well, the heavenly people, that ain't spirit filled. You can even look at the life of some of these people. You'd be like, my God, you don't say nothing. If I don't know if people prophetic, you can sit, and me, because I preach in the pulpit a lot, I can look at audiences and see skeletons in people. I can look at people like, wow. And sometimes I have to be very careful when I look at people, because somebody's like, why are you looking at me like that? If you only knew. If you only knew. Really, because God would take you deep into the mystic of people. You'd be like, who was that? You come, then you say that, you go close, you're like, wow, that's a spirit in that spirit. It's a spirit in a spirit. Because you see things. That's when you come into close, you come into the revelation of God. God brings you in. He'll never leave you ignorant. That's why when people say, oh, I didn't know, you're lying. You deceive yourself. Because what you did is you lied yourself into something. Let me tell you about being saved. God will never leave you ignorant concerning Satan's device. He would never, if it is, he'll make a way of escape. I could tell you honestly, a lot of things I went over God. When God made in his way of escape, I went over that. He didn't leave me ignorant concerning things. I did it anyway. So you can't tell me if you're a believer and you messed up that you didn't see it. No, you didn't want to see it because your flesh desired it. And when you messed up in it, then you went to God. No, God made a way of escape. I know y'all ain't ready for me today. You ain't ready for me. Because God ain't going to never. Let me tell you something. If you serve him and you serve and you know God, even in your lowest point, he'll never leave you ignorant. It's all in the scripture. God never leave you ignorant concerning Satan's device. He'll make a way of escape. You went over all of those dimensions and did what you want to do. So don't say, well, I didn't know. Just say, I just fooled myself. I just wanted to. Let me tell you something. Most people, if they can't control it, they'll change it. If they can't change it, they'll manipulate it. If they can't manipulate it, they'll go behind and try to destroy it. See? That's what you got people. Because if they can't get you, they'll manipulate you. If they can't manipulate you, they'll try to destroy you. See? Because they'll help the devil. They'll volunteer. So, let me go over to the scripture that we were talking about. Let me get back on course here. Not that I was off course. I'm just kind of throwing some things out there for people to understand the knowledge of where you are at in the earth, the impeccable knowledge of what God reveals to his people.
It's still within the water.
Yeah, John chapter 10. Yeah, there you go, mother. John chapter 10. Chapter 10. All right. John chapter 10, verses number 30, I believe, 10 and 30. Verses number, I think John chapter 10. This is powerful. I just probably hope to be next to me. Let's deal with religious leaders surrounding Jesus in the temple. John chapter 10. I don't want to deal with all of that other information. Okay. Let me do John chapter 10, verses 22. But I want to deal with, just read John chapter 10, anybody today, read it. Because Jesus talks about, no man, just chapter 10, 18, no man take it from me. Here's what he said. Therefore, does my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again? This is 17. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. See that? He's telling you the spiritual dimension. He's telling you that no one can take your life. No one can take. You give it up. You give that right to. That's why on May 6, 2023, they crowned him the sovereign king. Sovereignty. God is the only sovereign person. People gave their rights to this Charles, who have a concierge wife, who's not even sitting on the throne. Who she can't even be queen. She's a concierge. The power of in the coronation. Do you know that he is the 40th king? It was 39 before him. So what did President Trump did when he put the Bible before the nation? He was telling people that everything was being fulfilled in the Episcopal building. Queen Elizabeth knew that because she's over the Church of England. He's moved outside the Masonic circle of the White House where the Episcopal building is. They focused on all of the homeless people there. It wasn't about that. They was the religious world was saying he was a heretic. He wasn't. He was sending a code to the world what was going on in the District of Columbus, coming from the colonial system, which is controlling all the rest of the world through the system. And he was telling the world that the Bible, the 39 books of Old Testament, 39, the stripes are being fulfilled. The 40th is the coronation. It means coming out. So when you read 40 here, you'll understand the wilderness. Jesus did what? He was led up of the Spirit afterwards, 40 days and 40 nights. He was letting us know that everything was fulfilled. Everything has been fulfilled. There's nothing that else had to be fulfilled. He was telling the world, correction, Jesus revealed everything, correction. He was telling us from the 39 books of concealed, he did what? He revealed everything. The president was telling the world that you're moving into fulfillment. The black people, the stone tribe, the tribal people. We didn't even know that everything was what? To be what? Fulfilled. Fulfill means you're going to fulfill. You're going to feel what is empty. You're going to fulfill what was a lie. You're going to fulfill that was told to you. But most people bought into money. Some people bought into things. I bought into ideas. You'll never be lacking money in the world. Look at the economy. They tell you, oh, we're in an economic crisis. You ain't in no crisis. Why are they building streets and highways and bridges and they're creating all of this stuff in the world? They sold you that mess. It's like you don't have the knowledge of your gene. That's why they miseducated your children and miseducated you. And they put you in these churches and miseducated you in the church. Some of these people don't even know half of the word of God. So they're going on a genre. You jumping and shouting and still going home without nothing. I'm bringing you into the mysteries of the knowledge of your creativity. I'm sharing with you what you, in you is everything you need. You own corporation. You are CEO. You're the chief executive officer. Open your mouth. You get anything you want. Knowledge is power. The mind. Genesis is all about the mind. The first, read Genesis and go into the first, I'm going to say the first 11 chapters. After you get past God separating the Nephilim in chapter 6, and you get to chapter 11 when he separated and confused the whole world. Chapter 11 means chaos and mastery. Go into chapter 12. Now you hear about Abraham. Then you hear about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all them secret societies that they use, Jacob, climbing Jacob ladders, all of the dimensions of Jacob. Half of them don't even know what they're doing. But anyway, that's a whole other story because you start dealing with Nimrod, the ninth generation of Noah, Nimrod, the ancient system. When you talk about Noah's ark, the ark, you have to understand the sound of animal kingdom. Noah's ark, the ark is the sound of animal kingdom. Then when you get over to understanding the Ark of the Covenant, then you understand the Ark of God. You talk about you. You become the Ark. You carry the Ark of the Covenant because you gave the covenant in you. So Jesus brought the Ark of the Covenant to you. It was already in us, but we had to go through the big. We had to go through this big old. The Ark that they carried around, so they had to carry His presence. When Jesus came on, you never needed another Ark of the Covenant because you was His presence. You were the Ark of the Covenant. So you are actually the Ark of the Covenant. So He lets you know Noah's Ark was the animal kingdom. It was the marine realm. So we had to move from the Ark, Noah's Ark, the Ark, because it rained, so He could take all of the animals. So we moved from the animal kingdom into the presence of God to us being the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant. You move from Noah's Ark to the Ark of the Covenant, and you become the Ark yourself. You house all the data. You went from what was concealed to what was what in God, what revealed and fulfilled. You're the Ark. That's why they spend more time trying to destroy human lives, because you're carrying the Ark in you. You're the Ark of the Covenant. You're the Ark. You can't kill what you need. What you do is suppress them. You oppress them. You depress them until they give up. They yield to you. That's to be able to understand the Ark. Now, if you understand the Ark, you have to understand Ark. If you go back to Genesis, when God said, let us make man in our image, when you look at the word image, somebody go ahead and Google it real quick. Understand what the word image means. If you study image, just think of the word image. So let's look at the word image, and then you can deal with it in a Hebrew, what image means. So you take a person and you say, God said, let us make man in our image. So He's going to say, I'm going to make man in my image. So if I'm going to make you in my image, what do image mean? So let's understand what image means so people can understand image, the definition of image. And Wikipedia and all those places don't even really give you the real definition of image. You just have to buy into whatever they give you as it relates to image. So you work on okay, image and what it means. Okay, so I'm gonna say the definition of image. I know I'm teaching somebody today. So you want to understand image. So I'm bringing image out. So what do image mean to you? So you understand the image. So image. Now listen to this. Image. A visual presentation of something. An image can be two-dimensional representation. Okay? Image. Image can be a painting, a photograph, three-dimensional object. So you talk about image. So if he said, let us make man in our image, what he's doing is a representation of external form of a person or a thing in an art, an image. So from your mind, here you are, your mind can create a artwork through your thoughts. Your thoughts create a picture. Once you lock it in, that image, you now create a nation. You get imagination. And from your image, if you tap your mind into the thought of God, the atom and the cell, then God will give you exactly the details of the artwork for you to create your nation. So from that place, you won't live in an illusion and a delusion and a hallucination. Most people, we look at the world, this is a delusion. If God give you an image, he's giving you what? He's giving you the art of it, the image. And from that image, nations are formed. Nations. You get the word Gentile when the actual meaning of it was nation. So Matthew's were written for Jews. Mark was written for nation. Luke was written for historical, Theophilus, Roman officer. John's gospel was written exact details of Jesus, if you read it and understand. His book opened you up with understanding the exact details, gives you details of Son of God, because his relationship proves exclusively Yeshua was Son of God, and that he who believeth in him will have eternal life. John books talk about eternity, eternal, eternal. That's why you understand me and the Father is one. He speaks of that. I don't have to lay down my life. John laid on the breast, the heart of God. His ear laid on the heart. He was the head, ear. He began. He prepared for what? The coming of Yeshua. So everything is in preparation. Revelation is revealing. People fight revelation because they don't want to tap into revealing. You have to tap into a dimension in God to understand that knowledge. So they rather sit and let somebody teach them symbols and signs and secret things. When you tap into thought, he'll give you signs and wonders and demonstration of things. He opens you up to the knowledge of who he is, and you'll move in that knowledge. You'll move in that secret. Everything is a sacrifice, but what do it cost you to walk into the knowledge of understanding God himself, or to tap into the wisdom of God? So let me look. He says here, John chapter 10. He said, "Verily, verily, I said to you, he that enter not by the door into what? The sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hears his voice." You see, you got to hear this thing. So he used all ideas, porter, transmit. A porter rides a train. So he's the porter. He's using languages. So you have to break it down. Door, access, communication, doorway. He brings it, enter in by the door. You have to open up for the knowledge to enter in. It's the same as thief. So you can't go in any other way. He used parables. He used stories that the people will understand how to tap into. There's more I want to say. I've been up kind of early this morning, probably about 3. Been up 3 going in and out because I was tapping into some things with God today. But we want you to understand what he wants to bring you into, so you will walk, breathe, and live in currency, rhythm, power, mystery, and walk in that place in the spiritual dimension of God. Amen. People that come into the knowledge, they just need to be around a person who has the knowledge. They're coming into the knowledge. Everybody want to be a coach. I'm a coach now. I'm coaching. How you going to coach a sport you ain't never been in? That's just free. I'm just trying to throw that out there to somebody. Somebody taught you how to be a coach. I could never teach nobody tennis if I didn't play tennis. I know tennis. I know volley, over here, smashing, serving in volley. I know how to spin the ball. I know how to hit on the line. I know how to play doubles. So you had to understand the sport. Somebody know football. So they know how to tackle, how the quarterback is, the power of the quarterback, where to throw the ball, who needs to block, the cornerback, you know, all these positions. Then you have baseball players. You're going to try to teach a sport because you never played it, but you can give the people the dynamics of the sports. No, you have to be in it. The Bible, you have to get in the Word. There's so much knowledge that comes from the 66th book, but there's a greater knowledge within you that God will give you the knowledge of the books of the books. There's not even, there's even the word of God said, there's information about Jesus that could even be contained in these books. You can read this basic instruction before leaving earth 100 times over. There's a greater revelation every time you read, because you come into the more knowledge of the things of God. Knowledge is power. He wants to bring you into the knowledge and the power of who you are in. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's another dimension, realm that God want to take you into so you can walk into it. No one should be able to deceive you. If you want to be deceived, you downgraded your treasure in your earthen vessel. Look what the Bible says. You have a treasure in an earthen vessel that the excellency may be of him and not of you. In you is a treasure chest. Man, how many people have laid down with somebody and they took all of your treasure from your chest? Or they thought they took your treasure from your chest. You have a treasure in an earthen vessel. Not you running around mad because your body is a temple. It carries all the secrets of the highest level of knowledge in you. Well, I wanted to read a certain verse. Might as well while I'm here. I mean, I think it's Matthew 10 and verse number 22. And it was, this is Matthew 10 and 22. And it was at Jerusalem that the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter in Jerusalem. It was winter in Jerusalem. Listen to this. And it was at Jerusalem that the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter in Jerusalem. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Think about this. You'll read it from John chapter 4, Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt if thou be the Christ? Tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. The shepherd. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hears my voice, their sound of me, and I know them. But you have to hear God. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Now, what was Jesus talking about right there, Mother Sydney? I'm taking you into eternal power. I'm going to give you eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Because I'm not going to look external. I'm going to look internal. Yeah. And in me is eternal life. Jesus was telling them, in you is eternal power. Enter in to eternal life, your life. If you tap into you, eternal, I'll show you how to tap into life, eternal life. He said, I give sound move in to eternal life. So they get mad. Why? Because they love the letter. They were used to hearing the external. And they shall never perish. You will never die if you understand eternal power that's connected to internal conflict. But the N.I. me understand eternity. But you keep looking outside for what's already in you. When you know who you are, people seek you out. They don't look for another. That's what John said. Should we look for another? I said, no. Oh, you here? All right, we could tap in. That's why people look for another. They run from one place to another because they forever learning.
Yeah.
You want somebody on the outside to define what's on the inside. Hey, let me tell you something. How is it? Let me see. Let me go here since I'm already out here in the Mediterranean. How do you want somebody to love you and you don't love yourself? Even if the person love you, you would never love, you would never understand that love because you don't love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to forever fight the person that love you because every time they're going to show you love, you don't even love yourself. Love begat love. Me and my father was one because of the love I had for the father and the father had for me. Look at all these relationships and marriages that broke up. Why? Because they didn't love each other. They sexed each other. They conquered each other. They enjoyed the luxury, but love is a whole different dynamic. Me and my father was one. Why? Because it was eternal. When you know who you are, look, if you don't heal right, you can never love right. You can't love God if you don't heal right. You want somebody who just as messed up as you to fulfill you. You can't. That's why people, they go around a circle and do the same thing again and again. And they know it's the same trap, but they say, well, let me just see one more time to try one more time. And now you kill yourself. You ever see somebody do the same thing again and again? You be like, man. And they'll tell you. They'll sit and tell you, man, I know it's something. And you do it again. No, that's insanity. Inhumanity. You're just insane. Because you did it again. You do it. I know some people that is watch people do it again and again. And look at the power of God. He still say, okay, one more time. Let me help you out again. Let me help you one more time. He'll help you. And say, so here you are at this place. You finally get it right. I ain't going down that road again. And then you get all these deep people. You get deep people. And the Lord. Now, this is what you call bipolar prophecy. You already know what a bipolar prophecy come on the scene. You know, God showed me this, and he told me all this about you. Let me look at this person. You giving me a prophecy? Yeah. And you said the Lord said, yeah. Wow, that's deep. I had to laugh at some of this stuff. I say to myself, I made myself some death. Okay, so hold on. You didn't gave me, okay, hold on, let me see. This is what the Lord gave. Yes. All right. Now, the only way you can open yourself up is you receive it. If you receive it, then you gave them access to the door. I pull the prophecy, you got to be careful. But some people will sell you stuff, a sound, that will mess up your spiritual dimensions inside of you. And you'll be running around, walking around, carrying something that has no authorization over the thought and the DNA of you. So he says it to him. People are so unstable. And some people don't even know how to break it because they don't know how to submit to stabilization. It gets so stable. Let me finish reading this so you can understand what Jesus said. Verse 48, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I told you earlier, your five hands, your fingerprint. I and my Father are one. That's real simple verse. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone? You understand the stone? Which of the work do you stone? He's giving you a parable of the tribe. Stone. You want to stone again, then took up the stones again to stone him. You stepped out of your position, your tribal position, to stone him. You don't want to operate in who you say I am. He said, so which of you, of those works, do you stone me for? Which tribe do you want to take away? I didn't told you all the secrets of the 12 tribes. What is it that you don't want? Then the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, maketh thyself God. Jesus answered them, it is written in your law, I said, ye are God. If ye call them God, unto whom the word of God came, the scripture can not be broken. You have to understand, you are little God. Say ye of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. He's really said, I'm walking in oneness with God. Now, if you go outside on a hot day and look up in the sun will be on who? You. The sun of God will beam on you. The sun will beam on you. How do you know? Turn and look at the shadow. Without a shadow of doubt, the Son of God is beaming on you. Sonship. If I do the works of my Father, believeth me not. But if I do thou, ye believe not me. Believeth the work that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. See what I'm saying? God transcended. They couldn't even get him. And he went away again beyond Jordan into a place where John had first baptized, and he abode there. And many resorted unto him. And said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spoke of this man were true. And many believed on him there. See? He had to get away from all of that foolishness to do miracles and a miracle among his own. He brought it to his own, but they believed him not. He go into others. And they believe. You have to trust God that he will be the miracle worker for you.
Amen. Yeah.
All right. We've been teaching a little bit today. So anyone have any questions and comments from Mother Thelma, Sydney, or myself on today? Hallelujah. We're just popping in and sharing a little bit here and there with the people just to bless you. I don't tarry long like I used to. People got my season is shifting, so I'm shifting so fast. But I'm releasing to the people and the people. so that they can understand what God wants them to have, able to tap into. Knowledge is power. Questions are powerful. Information is powerful.
Amen.
The eye, the image, the creative, the inner eye, vision, impression, things of God. Woo, thank you, God. All right, we're gonna take a quick commercial and come back. Bless the Lord for our people of God. And we'll be right back.
Dr. LaRon Matthews would like to personally invite you to join Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries and LaRon Matthews Ministries for their weekly services as follows. Sunday morning, 7:30 a.m., it's Facebook Live.
Find the broadcast on LaRon Matthews Facebook page.
11 a.m., in-person and virtual worship experience at 231 East 146th Street, Harvey, Illinois. Tuesday night, 7 p.m., a powerful prophetic teaching in person and virtual.
Find this broadcast on the RFPIM Facebook page.
Dr. LaRon Matthews is also a licensed Christian counselor and life coach. If you desire counseling, please feel free to contact the office at 708-825-1988 or 877-912-2027 for rates and available times. To receive more about the ministry, you can visit the ministry website at www.werestoreyou.org.
That's www.werestoreyou.org.
God bless you.
Join Prophet LaRon Matthews every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. and on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. for Facebook Live. Also, you can join Prophet throughout the week with Drive By with the Prophet for a powerful prophetic word from the Lord. You can go to LaRon Matthews on Facebook and LaRon Matthews Ministries and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Inc. on Facebook Live. We look forward to seeing you on Facebook Live with Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews.
Times are subject to change depending upon the availability of Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Thursday Morning Open Forum with Prophet LaRon Matthews and co-host Evangelist Thelma Sidney. Together, by the grace of God, they have been given the opportunity to be a beacon of light to hurting people across the world that have questions they can ask during the forum that they feel uncomfortable asking anywhere else. So welcome, beloved, and we welcome your questions and comments. Hit star 6 now. God bless you.
Amen. We're back. Bless the people of God, my co-hosts, and myself, Mother Thelma Sidney, just opened it up you to the knowledge of the power of who you are in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Prophetic people, if you just knew the power of your sound, and what comes from that place, it will be such a powerful presence of God over you. Yeah. And it's even greater when you're under the knowledge and the wisdom of leadership to navigate you in the direction. People spend more time talking about the foolish things instead of tapping into the presence. Because God uses the foolish thing to confound the wise anyway. If it had not been for the Lord, we wouldn't be here. Because it's the foolish thing that he confound the wise. He uses those mighty things for us. So we thank God for the Lord opening us up to the knowledge of great things.
Amen.
All right. Any questions or comments for us?
Yeah. Good morning, Prophet Matthews. Good morning, Mother Sidney. I thank Almighty God for you all. Love you all dearly. This is Sister Donna.
Thank you, likewise.
I have it's not really a question. Hello?
Somebody else. Somebody else is speaking. Hold on.
Okay.
There's somebody else speaking. No. Hold on. Let's take the first question or comment that Sister Dinah would have asked, and then we'll take the next person. Go ahead, woman of God.
Good morning, Prophet Matthew. Good morning, Mother Sydney. God bless you all and all that's on the line. I love you all dearly. I don't know if this is a question, but it's more so like a possibility. And I need you all to tell me if this is something that could possibly be, because as you speak, it's much revelation in the Word of God. Even when you said about Prophet Matthew, when you spoke about when you can, a person can read the Bible, and each time we read it out of one scripture, Almighty God will give us different revelations in that particular word. So as you all were speaking, and I'm just saying, is it possible in Genesis 1 and 26, and it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, the possibility that came to me, everything that you all said is on target. It's the Holy Ghost, and it blessed my soul. But this is what he gave me pertaining to the let us make man in our image after our likeness. Is it possible that the let us represents the divine Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who were one? They were one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I'm one, Donna Mother, Donna Saint, Donna Friend, you know, but I'm still one. Divine Trinity, let us, is that the Divine Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who were one, image, and then he says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. The image of God, having the image, man having the image and the likeness of God, would that also help man to be in that position where he's made, where he can fellowship with God? He has to be in the image of God to be able to fellowship with the Most High Elohim after his image and after his likeness. Does that refer to true righteousness as well? And as you all were speaking, this is what came to me. Let us make man, the divine Trinity. That's what came to me when he was speaking, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Is it possible? That's all I wanted to ask. Thank you so very much for allowing me to present that and just to ask that and see if it's possible that he was talking to himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God bless you all. Love you all. Have a beautiful day.
Okay. This is the beginning. When he's with us, we know in the English language denotes more than one person, more than one thing. It denotes three things, us. And so it's like, let us on the phone, let these let us, amen, like me, Prophet, and another person. And then, but when we look at scripture, we look up how when Jesus said that I came to do the work of he that sent me. So God the Father sent Jesus to do the work upon the earth. And when his work was completed, God the Son said, he has to go right now, but I will not leave you comfortless. He said, because after me, I'm going to send a comforter to you. He said, but if I don't go, the comforter can't come. because there's no need for the Comforter, which is the Spirit of God. Because in the beginning, when we look at verse 1, it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's go to 2. And God said, let there be light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke it. God spoke light into existence, because when he created man, he blew his spirit. God said, let there be. The Spirit of God went out to activate what he said. The Word of God, Mandi, the Osiah God, came out in existence. He spoke the Word, and the Word in the flesh was who? Christ, Jesus. And when it came into existence, the Spirit of the living God performed the work. And so, he said, when you see me, you see the Father. These are the attributes. These are the character. They are one. If he said, let us make men in our own image, after our likeness, they were one. But yet three. They were one, but yet three. It said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So he had a son. He gave birth, he said, begotten. And then there's another scripture that talks about that Jesus counted not robbery to leave his throne in heaven. On the day of Pentecost, they were all on one accord in one place. And then suddenly, as the mighty washing wind, what happened? The indwelling of the Spirit of God. It was a baptism, an indwelling of the Spirit of God. And so, they're one, but yet they're different. And so, as you say, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you know, I'm like, it's just almost going into the Trinity. I don't like going into the Trinity like that. Some people, it confuses some that don't believe and and some that don't understand it fully. But for me, if he said, I and my Father are one, it's just like when you give birth to a child, that child becomes your image. It becomes your image right there. And so, and when we speak about let up, I just have to say the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, all three of them, they're one, but yet different administrations. Because we have to realize that God said that my ways are not like man's ways. And his thoughts are not like man's thoughts. And so if he left the Comforter here to be a teacher to us and to guide us into all things and teach us of all things, he that sent him, which is Jesus Christ that sent the Comforter. He don't speak of himself, but he speak of who? Jesus that sent him. And it's the same way with Jesus. He didn't speak of himself. He spoke of his Father. All things came from the Father. All things was produced through the Father, because he turned matter, he matter which was nothing, to a being. It says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then let me go on down. And he said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. God himself. And it yet goes back to when this visitation that I had, is out of body experience. How can that be explained to a carnal mind? I'm up in here seeing myself. I'm up in the space. I'm up out there in matter. I'm out there. And the angel of the Lord is, I'm seeing him in my parochial view. I'm standing right beside him, and yet there's space. And I'm looking down at myself. How can that be? How can that be? My spirit, but yet that's me. My spirit looking down on that human form, but yet that's me. They said, because what? We are spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. But the spirit and the soul dwells within the body, abodes within the body. That's three parts right there. You got flesh, spirit, and emotions. That makes up the body. That makes up the God eye. It makes up the Godhead. But yet they're one. And so in order for man to become a living being, that body that was made from the dust, he had to blow his ruah, his spirit, into man's nostril. And then he became a what? A living soul. Mind, will, and emotion. And through the mind, and through the spirit, God speaks. And the mind, the will, and emotion, they receive it. And then the body, what? All glory to God, activates on it. The word of God made in flesh came to do the will of the Father. He activated on it. He spoke it and the Spirit was activated on it, gave the disciples what power to do what Jesus said to do upon the earth. I hope I didn't go off, but three different ministrations, but I mean, this is how I'm seeing it. I'm trying to do the parallel. It's a parallel to me. I receive it. You know, I hope I answered the question. You know, I hope I answered the question. Prophet, you come on. You come on in. You come on in and put the icing on the cake.
Well, I'm going to do the best I can, Mother. And first I want to deal with Genesis chapter number 24. And I want to, Genesis chapter 1, and verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after its kind, cattle and creeping things, beasts of the earth after their kind, and it was so. Verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after his kind, and everything and creeping upon the earth after his kind. His kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 25, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. Now, God said in verse 27, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So, in his image, he speaks to the counsel of his own will, speaks to the angels about his counsel. So he lets them know that everything he's doing, he's letting them know that this is what we will do after our license, and they will have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. But here's what he did with man. So God created man in his own image. He let them know he was doing it exactly through the way he did them. God never had to speak to anybody above him. He's God himself. In the image of God created he him, male and female, he created them. And he blessed them, and God said unto them, all of the above. Now, I want to say this because Trinity is the Christian God here as one God and three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I want to take us to understand this. The word Trinity refers to Christian doctrine of Father, Son, Holy Spirit as one God. The word comes from a Latin word, which means Trinitas, which means the number three or threefold. The Latin word derived from Trinas, which is related to tres, meaning three. The Greek equivalent of trios, meaning a set of three. The Bible does not speak or use the word Trinity. The doctrine of Trinity was built from the foundation so that when you understand the word Trinity, the Trinity became popular English-speaking country since the mid-1800s. It came on the scene. Now, the Trinity symbol was found in ancient manuscripts, such as the Book of Kells. Archaeologists had cited the stone dated back to 1000 A.D. This is so the people can understand the Trinity or Trinitarianism. So when the early 13th century, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit constituted one God as prevailing Christian doctrine. From the old French Trinity, Holy Trinity, from Latin Trinitarium or Trinitatum. Now, Trinity or Triad, the term Tertullian from the Latin word Trinus, threefold, triple, the plural of Trini, three at one time, threefold, related to the word Tres or Tria, three. The Latin word was widely borrowed in Europe language, which spread with the spread of Christianity. Listen to this. The Irish Trinoid, Welsh Trindad, German Trinitate, Old English used Pride as a long translation of Latin Trina, related to Trinitarian, which all connected to the word trend. We're following a trend. So you get Trinitarian from that place. And the Bible doesn't talk about Trinity. Jesus never talked about Trinity. He talks about we becoming one with the Father in all essence. When he created man from the gene, he made us one with him. You follow me? We became one with the Father in all essence. Everything supposed to be one. When you deal with etymology over historicity and scrolls over writing and knowledge over etymology, you'll find the doctrine of Trinitarianism were all created through ancient what we call mysticism. God always led us to him. Everything leads to him. His spirit in humanity always gave us one with him. In a three-dimensional world, he always led mankind to him through his spirit. The demonstration of writing, of ancient writing written, is the sun is up in the sky. Man is on the earth. So we connect sun to man. So what you get? Son of God. Now, we are all spirit anyway. So we are a spirit. So the Father connects us to him. We become son. We are already spirit. So what they connected you to is the Father connects us to Son. Son connects us to Spirit, but not necessarily, because when he gave us, created us, we were already Spirit. So we just became children or adoption by the will of him. We all become one. Mediation, or what we call Son, Jesus became the in-between, the go-between. He brought us. It's through him that we have one with the Father. The Son of God brings us to understanding the Spirit of God. So from his Spirit, we become sons and daughters of God through the Spirit, which bring us into one with the Father.
Yeah.
We have to become one with him.
Mm-hmm.
Trinitarian teaches us, or the Trinity, it go back to the Catholic Church. Look at what you have, a Pope.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Pope. And through the Trinitarian teaching,
mm-hmm.
you learn more of Catholicism than becoming one with the Father in essence.
Okay.
He wants us to become one with him so that we can become just like him in every essence.
Amen.
Now, I have to be sensitive to my Trinitarian brothers and sensitive to my, when we talk about the Godhead, you know, the Godhead. And those who are in oneness, Jesus is God, God is Jesus, God is Jesus. He opens us up to understand, to become one with the Father is to become one with union in him. mm-hmm. or united in him to be just like him. We are all sons and daughters of God. We become sonship with him because we receive the light of him. The more you come into the light of God, the more you become son, shine on him, your son, the light. And you become one with the Father. See, the Bible doesn't talk about Trinity or Trinitarianism. It talks about becoming one with him in all essence. Now, there's no mediation between man and God. I mean, man, Father and Son. It's us. It's through the presence of God that we were already one with him. Eternity, conflict in the eternity causes man to deal with internal things. And we now seek outside to get what we need that's on the inside of us. God always had man connected to his spirit. We are spirit beings. We always been spirit beings. We always will be spirit beings. And he wants us to connect to the oneness of God. When you say in chapter 1, God said, let, or chapter 27, and God said, let us make man in our image.
Mm-hmm.
He was speaking to his creation of eternity. And from that place, he lets them know that mm-hmm. mankind will be one with him mm-hmm. in his creative plan. Before a rebellion happened in his sonship or in his creation, we were all one with the Father. He's leading us back to become one with him. As people study, and go in there and do a little study, because sometimes it's even deeper when you go deeper into understanding of the Word of God about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's really a oneness. But to break it down, if you want to use the term, if you want to open it up to that broader scope, the Father and Jesus is one. He speaks of it always. He leads people out one.
Mm-hmm.
And everything leads to him. He just wants the Spirit to come into the revelation of being one with the Father in all areas. When you start dealing with God here, you're really dealing with the mind or the state of the thought to bring you into understanding God as the ultimate, the head of all things. He's the ultimate. And he wants mankind to become mm-hmm. just like him in totality in who we are with him. And that's bringing us into understanding the Godhead, because what you're really asking, the question, or if I would deal with it from a theological standpoint as I deal with Trinitarian or Trinitarianism, is that you're really asking a question about the Godhead.